I want to begin by saying Happy Father's Day. We have a lot of dads in the building today, and today I want to talk to you or about you. You know, we could take this lesson in a lot of different ways, and we could look at the way a lot of times Hollywood portrays a dad on TV. You know, he's the guy who comes in and plops down in the recliner, and he really doesn't know what's going on at the house, and a lot of times that's the way the TV show portrays the dad. We could talk about the fact that homes where the dad is not active and present, that suicide rates and runaway rates and violence by the children, all of those things are at an extreme high when the dad is not a part, but that's not the direction I want to go in. You see, I truly believe that most fathers are trying to do a good job. I really believe that. At least most of the ones that I know and I'm associated with. I really do. And maybe when you think about a father, maybe you think that he's the guy that makes a huge mess with the kids, right? Because he likes to have fun. And my wife can tell you, back when my kids were younger, we made a lot of messes. And that's okay. Maybe when you think of a father, he's the guy that, you know, again, he likes to be goofy. He likes to make the children laugh. And that is a great thing. That's a great thing to be a father that wants your children to have a good time. Maybe you think of a father, he's the guy that gives the airplane rides. I've spent a lot of hours running through my house when my kids are small. Can't do that anymore. But, you know, flying them like an airplane, you know, and we're going to fall in the lava. You know, you got to all those things you like to play and pretend. And again, that's great. That a father does that. That is a fun thing to do. Maybe the dad, he's the guy that always puts gas in the car. And rightly so, he should be. He's the guy that checks the oil in the car and makes sure things are running properly. And again, good things that he should do. He's the guy that plays sports with you. He's the guy maybe that's at the ball games and he's your biggest supporter. Maybe he's your coach. And again, great things that fathers and their children enjoy being able to do together. Maybe you think of your dad as the guy that can fix everything, right? You know, anytime the bicycle's tore up, the four-wheeler, whatever it may be, is broken, he can fix it. Maybe you think of dad as the guy that he's a hard worker. He's the guy that's making the living. He's the guy that you just know so much, and maybe when your kids are small, and I want to repeat that, when your kids are small, you're a superhero, right? Chase, enjoy it, buddy. It's going to change. You're a superhero now. But maybe that's the kind of dad that you think of, and that is, again, all of that is a great thing. It's something that I hope every father in here attempts to do. Every one of those things, but we're going to talk about something when it comes to fatherhood, that's far more important. You see, coaching the team and fixing the bicycle and going to practice and flying them like an air, all of that is good. But if you're not a godly father, you're not the father God wants you to be. All of those other things, not a thing in the world wrong with it. But if that is the extent of your fatherhood, well, you see, there's a problem. There's a problem. We're going to look at several things here that a godly father should do. And I hope every father in this assembly, I hope every young man, you don't have to be a father. You don't even have to be married. But I want you to really pay attention to this lesson. And I want you to realize if you want to be successful in God's eyes, you've got to do these things. You can't leave them out. If you want to be the father that he expects you to be, well, these are what you've got to do. Number one, first and foremost, if you are going to be a godly father, if you are going to lead your home the way that God intends for you to lead that home, number one, you've got to know God yourself. He said, what do you mean? I'm going to say something, and some people won't agree with it. If you're a father and you are not a New Testament Christian, you don't love your family like you should. And I know sometimes people say, there's no way I could love my family more. If you are a father and you are not a New Testament Christian, you don't love your family like you should. You don't love your family like God intends for you to love them. Why do you say that? Well, I've got it wrote on the screen. Children mimic what they see, don't they? And everybody can agree that our children are looking to us. And what they see us do is going to determine what they do in their lives. And if you are a person, a man, that is not a New Testament Christian, why do you think that your children are going to grow up to be New Testament Christians? If they see that it is not important unto you. You see, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says, if we are going to say that we know Him, or if we claim to know Him, we've got to do His commandments. And if you are not a Christian, you don't know God. You may say, I'm a believer, and you may say, I want my family to be there. And I've even known of several examples of men that would drive their families to church, and they would drop them off at the door, and they themselves would go back home. Shame on you if you do that. Shame on you. That's not what a godly father does. You see, if I really love my family the way God intends for me to love them, the most important thing that I want for my family is for them to go to heaven. Bar none. That's it. If I leave this earth and my four children are faithful Christians and go to heaven, nothing else matters, does it? Nothing. Now, it doesn't matter how successful they become or how much money. None of that matters. Other than the fact, are they going to go to heaven? So, if you're not a New Testament Christian, I want you to pay attention. You're not the father God wants you to be. You're not the father you could be. But let's take that a step farther. Maybe you are a Christian. Maybe you've obeyed the gospel. I'll put it that way. Maybe you've obeyed the gospel, but maybe that's pretty much the extent of it. Maybe that's all you've done. And maybe you show up to church occasionally. Maybe you don't. Do you still realize that your children are looking to you? What makes us think that our children will be more faithful than we are? Maybe you've never thought about that. Maybe you've never took the time to consider that. Because again, John says in verse 4 of 1 John chapter 2, if we say we know Him and we don't really do the things that He tells us to do, He says we're nothing but a liar. Well, we're not what we're supposed to be. And our children are going to see that. If we're not active in the church, if we're not striving to be a serving, faithful Christian, our children know that. I have learned in my life, you don't hide very many things from your kids. You don't. They are watching and listening to everything you say because sometimes they'll repeat it at the checkout line at Walmart, right? You ever been embarrassed? Yeah. They see it all. They know. They become what we are. In a lot of ways, I'm just a lot like my dad. This is my first Father's Day. I don't have my dad. But in a lot of ways, I'm like him. And my son that's still at home, my wife and his fiance, and everybody says he's the spitting image of me. Poor guy. But it's what they've seen, right? It's what they're around. So the first and most important thing I can tell you as a father, you got to be a Christian. You got to live a Christian life. And if you don't, you're failing your family. You really are. Second, you got to love your wife. We already said that children mimic what they see. Children will be the person that you mold them to be. They will be a lot like you no matter what you attempt to do. They're going to be like you. And the thing that's all the things that we do, everything that we do for our children, trying to raise and to rear them and teach them, is to get them to that point to where they leave home. Now, I'm not saying we're eager to get them out. I'm not saying that at all. But I made a statement to some of these guys. Their kids were graduating, and you know, and I said, the tough part's over. The best part's yet to come. And I mean that. The most satisfying part of being a parent is to see those children grow up and to find someone, a Christian, and to leave that home and to make their own home and to see things that are good. And that's what we want. But I want you to understand this, dads, men, our children are watching our interactions with our spouse. Our children see every bit of it. And if men, if we don't treat our spouse right, if we treat them like they are beneath us and they're not worthy of certain things and they're serving and we talk to them like dogs, and do we really expect that our sons are going to do any different? Do we? Do we really expect our daughters are going to grow up and expect something more if that's what they see us do? You see, the Bible tells me as a husband, I've got to love my wife as Christ loved the church. I've got to be willing to give myself up. It's not about me. If my children can see me, and I don't always do this like I should. I don't. My wife, she can tell you probably. Probably tell you more than I want you to know. So don't ask. But still, if I don't give up of myself for my wife, if I don't take care of her, if I don't protect her, if I don't provide for her, if I don't treat her like she should be treated, then I shouldn't expect my children to do anything other than that. You see, the Bible tells me as a husband, I am to dwell with them according to knowledge. I've got to understand what the Bible expects of me as a husband, as a Christian. I've got to give honor to the wife. That word honor is the same word. It's in 1 Peter 1:19. The word there is translated precious. And it's talking about the blood of Christ. He says, my wife should be precious to me like the blood of Christ is precious to me. It's something that I hold dear and I don't want to let go of, and my children should see that. As a husband, I've got to realize my wife is the weaker vessel. She's not weaker mentally or any of the thing like that, but she is weaker physically, and I am her protector. When I walk down the sidewalk, I'm next to the road and she's out of danger. I'm always got to be the one that's going to be out in front and making sure things are good and or at least to the best of my ability. But you see, my children see that. I've got to love my wife. I've got to treat her right. Because again, if I don't, why would I think my children's homes would be any different? It's serious. It's serious. Number three, godly fathers are the spiritual leaders of the home. Now, we've already said that dads are the guys that maybe coach the ball team and you know, they're flying like an airplane and they're doing all of those other things. But so many times in this life, we see fathers that are super concerned about things in the secular world. We see fathers, they will make sure their children are at every ball practice, every ball game. They will make sure that they have studied for every test. They will give their all to a lot of things. And sometimes the spiritual takes the back seat. And church, it should not be that way. It should never be that way. A lot of times in society, we see that the men take the back seat on the spiritual leadership and they leave that up to the mother. And shame on us if we do that. Shame on us. That is not at all what the Bible teaches. We impart all kind of knowledge to our children. And again, we can impart every sports thing in the world. We can impart how to fix a car, good as anyone. But what are we imparting spiritually to that child? Sometimes our priorities are all mixed up. And if I'm going to be a godly, productive, successful father in God's eyes, And that's really all that matters, right? I've got to do these things. Ephesians 6:4, Ronnie read it for us just a moment ago. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Fathers, you don't talk down to your children. You don't be constantly negative. You don't try to belittle them. You don't do anything of this sort. You are striving to raise them, to train them, to teach them everything that you can that has to do with the Lord. You are to nurture them, but you are also to warn them. Let me tell you something. God is a good God. He is a loving and merciful and gracious God. But doesn't the book of Romans say, behold the goodness and the severity of God? Romans 11, verse 22. He's not just good. He's also severe. And as fathers, don't we want to teach our children that? Don't we want to make them to be children of God also? Oh, I would think so. I would hope so. In fact, Deuteronomy 6:6-7, he says, listen, you've got to teach these things, Moses said. You've got to teach these things diligently to your children. And he goes on and he says, you've also got to teach them to your children's children, Deuteronomy 4. Your son's sons. He says, you've got to make it your lifestyle. He says, you've got to talk with them when you're going through your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. He says, you've got to make it your life that you want your children to be spiritual, religious people. And if you don't, you failed as a father. Failed. Have I always succeeded as a father? No. Do I wish I'd done some things differently? Yes. Do I wish that I had pushed more spiritual things? Yes. Always. But we've got to try. We've got to do the best of our ability. I want us to know, and this kind of goes back with some of the other ones, but godly fathers are aware of their influence. Take religion out of it. My daughter got me a Father's Day card yesterday, and I'll embarrass her. But in that card, it says, Dad, you're the one I look up to most. Boy, I love that. That was awesome. But boy, that's also very sobering. You realize that? Dad, you're the one I look up to most. So that means everything I'm doing and saying, everywhere I go, the decisions that I make, they're looking. They're looking. Sometimes in my life I have seen fathers pretty much tell their children, you do as I say, not as I do. You guys have experienced that, right? Again, they'll say, I want you guys to go to church. I want you guys to be faithful. I want you to do all those things, but I'm going to drop you off the door and I'm going back home and I'm going fishing. I have seen fathers use filthy language, and they hear that come out of the mouth of their child, and they want to go backhand the child. You ever seen that? I have seen fathers that would drink alcohol and smoke cigarettes and all of those things, and then they catch their child doing that when they're a teenager, and what happens? You know what happens, right? You see, as fathers, we've got to realize our influence is what is most in that child's life. When my wife and I first got married, I was not a faithful Christian. I'd fallen away, and I really wasn't very concerned about the church. I was living in a way that I'm ashamed of now. And I continued that way for a little while. And then she became pregnant, and I decided I'm not going to raise my children like this. Can't do that. I had seen that from some of my extended family, how they raise their children, and I'm not going to do that. I've got to at least make an honest effort to be different. I don't want my children to see me doing things that I'm ashamed of. Now, have they ever seen me do something I'm ashamed of? Oh, yes. But it was a mistake, and I tried to fix it. You see, we've got to realize that, dads. We've got to realize that even, again, when they're little, like I said, in the line at Walmart, they'll embarrass you. If they heard you say a word that maybe you shouldn't say, they'll embarrass you because they'll say it and they don't know any better. That's what Daddy said. That's what Daddy does.
I've got to realize that. I've got to understand the importance of that. A godly father teaches and exemplifies qualities for life. A godly father wants his child to be successful. He wants his child to grow up and be morally right. He wants his child to be responsible. And that's why the Bible tells us, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. And some people say, yeah, but that doesn't always work. A proverb is a wise saying. Therefore, most of the time it will work. But it's not a guarantee. But as a father, you want to do everything within your ability to make your child grow up and to go out and live a successful life. I've got just a few things. This is from a sermon I did, this slide, in a gospel meeting a few years ago. As a godly father, we want to teach our children. What do we want to teach them? We want to teach them with their future in mind. As a father, and also as a mother, I need to know my child. I need to know what they can do and what they can't do. Sometimes we set unrealistic expectations for our children. Sometimes we try to live through our children. And that's not good. I've known people that push what they wish they had done on their child. And they forced that child into going to do this or that or what. And that's not what the child wanted to do. So I've got to teach them with their future in mind. I need to know what they're interested in, what they want to do with their lives. I need to know who they are. I need to know their personality. I need to teach them respect. We live in a society today that bash the authority, that bash police officers, that bash anybody that tries to lay down the law. And we do that because we've got a generation of people that have not been raised with respect. They go out and they do all kinds of things and they act in a way that is horrible, and then they expect everyone else to treat them with respect. And that is wrong. As parents, we need to teach our kids respect. We need to teach our kids respect for authority. We need to teach our children respect for those older than them. We need to teach our children to open doors for people, to use their manners, all sorts of things like that. We need to teach our children to serve. And the best way we can teach our children all of these things, respect and to serve, is to live that life before them. If our children see us have respect, if our children see us being a servant, you know what? More than likely, they will do the same things. We need to teach our children to work. Again, we live in a society where people don't work anymore. People don't want to work anymore, and we've talked about that here. We've got to teach our children. We've got to make them do things. We've got to, because society's going to teach them the opposite. We've got to teach our children not to feel any sense of entitlement, not to feel that they deserve everything without doing anything. And is that not the land we live in today? And as parents, it is our responsibility to do this. Nothing comes free in this world, nothing. And our children need to know that. They need to know what you get is what you're going to earn. That's Bible. We need to teach them the value of money. We need to teach them to be responsible people. Again, all of these things they will learn through us and through our example. My time's about up. You realize a godly father practices discipline. And I know discipline is not something that is even looked on favorably today. And I know Don mentioned it in question and answer just the other night, but a lot of you aren't here on Sunday night. So we're going to talk about it a little more. In Hebrews chapter 12, I want you to listen to what the writer says. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of the flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our pleasure, or for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. I want you to notice, through inspiration, the Bible tells us God practices discipline, just like a godly father should practice discipline. I just want to remind us of a few things. When it comes to discipline, I don't have all the answers. I'm not perfect. I've got four children, and raising them up, there was a few of them I could look at sideways and they just wilted. It was one of them that it didn't matter what I did. Seemed like belt switch. No. You got to use different means, right? Got to use different means. But here's the thing. As a father, you got to remember who's in charge. You know how sad it is to see a child rule the roost? You've seen it, right? You've seen children tell their parents what the parents are going to do. That's shameful. Child is not in charge. God never intended for a child to be in charge. A child does not get to make the decisions. A child does not get to do what he or she wants to do. A child does what their parents tells them to do. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians 6:1. It's not the other way around. We've got to be consistent. If we're going to be successful in disciplining our children, we've got to be consistent. And I know as a parent, that is hard. Sometimes we find ourselves exhausted to the point that sometimes we let things slip. But you know what happens? That child realizes that. That child recognizes that, and they know what they can get away with and what they can't get away with. They know how far they can push you to get by with and do what they want to do. And every one of us as parents, we know that. We realize that. So we've got to remember who's in charge. We've got to be consistent when it comes to the discipline. But I want you to notice four proverbs here. Four proverbs. The Bible says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Spare the rod, spoil the child, right? That's what everybody says. That's not in the Bible. But spare the rod, you hate your kid. That's in the Bible. That's pretty strong words, isn't it? If you do not practice discipline, God says, you hate your child. I didn't say it. God did. So if you're going to be upset, you got to be upset with God, not me. Who needs to be the primary disciplinarian? The father. Who is the one that can garnish the most respect from that child? The father. Dad, this time we step up. It's time we get it in gear. He goes on to say, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Why would he say such a thing? What if we don't discipline them when they were small? What happens when they get and they're up here the same size as us? What happens? I may have told you this, guys, this here before, but I've got a family member, an extended family member, and I heard him curse his father to his face one time. And I thought, wow, I'd never do that. He left, got mad, peeled out, left. His father looked at me and he said, I wish I'd have whipped that child when he was growing up. Said, I never did. Why does the Bible say discipline your child while there is hope? Because you're going to get to the point that it's going to be too late to do anything about it. They're going to already be molded into who they are, and they're not going to give you that respect then. You've got to earn that respect with them while they're small. And you've got to raise them up to be who God wants them to be. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. He says, you've got to discipline. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. And he's not talking about child abuse. He's talking about a good old-fashioned spanking. As parents, we've got to do these things. You know, being a father may not always be perfect. You may feel like in this picture, and a lot of times that's what it's like, right? A lot of times it's chaos, and sometimes you feel like that that you just really don't know what direction you're going, and you don't know if you're doing what's right, and you don't know if your kids are going to be what's right, and if that's the way you feel, you're completely normal. Because if you feel that way, that means you are striving to do something right. You're trying to do something right. So what I want to encourage you to do today is be the kind of godly father God would have you to be. And again, go back to number one. The most important thing you can do for your family, if you're not a Christian, is to walk down that aisle this morning and become one. Because again, you don't love your family like you should if you're not a Christian. You can walk down that aisle this morning. You can believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You can be willing to repent of your past life that you've not lived for Him. You can confess His name, and we can immerse you and put you into Christ, like Galatians 3:27 says and Romans 6:3 and 4. We can do that today. And you can be a Christian, and you can be the best example that your children will ever see by making that decision. Most of you men are Christians, I suppose. I want to ask you, are you living it before your children? I want to ask you mothers, are you living it before your children? Are the things that you do and say, are your children seeing that? And are you going to be proud someday if they grow up and be just like you? You ever thought about that? If my children grow up and they're just like me, how am I going to feel about that? Am I going to be proud? Am I going to be, you know, man, I'm thankful I raised them that way. And boy, they're just sound in the faith. They're going to, are you going to have some regrets? You see, a lesson this morning is designed to make us think. And we're going to sing a song of invitation, and I want every one of us to think. Raising children is a serious task. Psalm 127:3, behold, lo, children are a heritage from the Lord. Children are loaned to us from the Lord. And our job as parents are to return them unto Him. Is that what you're doing today? Maybe you need to respond today, and it's nothing to do with parenting or anything else, but you need prayers of forgiveness or strength or whatever it may be. We stand ready to assist you this morning while together we stand and while we sing.